This is week 5 of a series that we're doing about some things that Jesus said, and they are the great I am statements that he said. He used that phrase, I am, to help us understand who he was. So he said, I am something 7 different times in Scripture. And all of these statements work together to give us a deeper understanding of who he was and what he did and how much he loves us, important things like that. So it's a good study to read over these and see what he said about himself. Just to review, in week 1, Jesus said, I am the bread of life, and that shows us that we need Jesus every day, just like we need our basic foods. He says, I'm the bread of life. In week 2, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. So to me, that tells me that Jesus can help me through some of those dark times or those dark areas of my life that I go through. And he said he doesn't want us to abide in darkness. In week 3, Jesus says, I am the door. And we learn that Jesus is the only way. That he is the door to God's family and to a relationship with God. And last week, week 4, Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. And what we learn from that is that Jesus knows us and he loves us. He gave himself to us, and we are secure and safe in that relationship. Before we look at next week's, I'd just like to stop and say something. Those are just wonderful things to know about Jesus. They are beautiful. If you only knew that about Jesus, that's enough. And maybe you say, enough for what, Mike? And I would say, enough for anything. Anything in life. Those things will help you through any possible situation in life. We think about it. All of us have someone in our lives available to us who is willing to bring light into our lives, who is the person who can make us have a relationship with God and who loves us, who gave himself to us, who wants to know everything about us, and he wants us to know him, and he says that is a safe and secure relationship. That is amazing. What else is there? If we are spending our lives chasing something else other than that relationship, what is better than that? What would ever be better than what Jesus gives us? So tonight, I want to talk about when Jesus said he was the resurrection. We're going to be in John chapter 11. It's kind of a personal favorite of mine. I have spoken that at funerals, including some of my dear family members. I think I spoke from this passage when my grandpa Cook died. I spoke from John chapter 11. I love this chapter. Over at Big Church, I spoke 1 or 2 messages out of that last May, and I think I was in John 11 when I spoke over there in January. And tonight, I want to look at even something different than I talked about over there twice in May and once in January. There's so much in there. So one of the reasons that the Bible is very important to us, and one of the reasons that I love it so much, is that it helps us through all of the different stage of life. You know, in life, we just get the different places, right? There are different things or situations that we have to go through. The days that I kind of have trouble with are when really good and really tough things happen at once, that same day. Those are hard for me. I'd almost rather pick, but sometimes you can't pick, you know, what life gives you. You just have to get in there and deal with it. And I've had a couple of those recently, and those are just hard, where you get some really good situations and then really hard situations, like swirled in together. But I found the Bible can bring comfort even to those days. The Bible can help us through life's toughest situations. Maybe you're here tonight and you're going through something really hard. This is going to sound simple, but it's true. Read that Bible. Go to the Psalms. Go to John. Read this very chapter, John 11, and it will help you. That's how God speaks to you. That's how He will be there for you through that situation. It helps. Just open that Bible and read it. Start in the Psalms or read John chapter 11. There are lots of places you can read, but the Bible helps you through that. It's our guidebook. Sometimes when you go through things, you just don't know what to think. Maybe it's a place you've never been before. You don't know what to think or feel, or you don't know how to react. Well, the Bible helps you through that. When I face a difficult situation, sometimes I think, what would Jesus say to me? What if Jesus were here right now, what would he say to me? Well, that's where the Bible comes in, because that is what God says. I want to read a quick conversation between Jesus and a lady named Martha. And Martha had just lost someone that she loved. Probably everyone has gone through that. You've had to say goodbye to someone you love, maybe someone very, very close, a family member maybe. And so this is a very, very good passage, because it's how Jesus helped Martha through that time. And it's in this passage we're about to read that Jesus makes this fifth big I am statement. And he's going to say that I am the resurrection and the life. So let's read John 11, start in verse 23. We'll read a few verses. And again, Martha's very sad because Lazarus, her brother, has died. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now, maybe we've been in Martha's shoes. Probably we have. We probably lost someone we love. We've been sad. We can relate to her pain. She is about to go to her brother's grave and in her mind tell him goodbye one last time till they get to heaven. And it's a sad time for her. And Martha says she has faith. When Jesus starts to talk to her about Lazarus, she says, I know that in the final resurrection, he will rise. So Martha says she has faith and that someday Lazarus will rise again in the resurrection. Now, Jesus hears this, obviously, and he takes the opportunity to really emphasize a couple of important things to Martha and to us. Jesus, after she says that, kind of gets in the dialogue and says, Martha, here's what I want you to know. I know you've just said something about the resurrection, but I want to be very clear. I am the resurrection. I am that resurrection. Now, I don't know what Martha thought, but I do know some people think that after this life, Jesus will be there to assist or help in the resurrection. He'll be there to carry people into heaven. And maybe he will, maybe he won't. But he is more than that. He tells Martha, whatever you believe about the resurrection, here's the most important thing, Martha. I am the resurrection. He says, whatever happens at the end of life and at that final time solely, only depends on what that person believes about me. He isn't necessarily there to help us after this life. He is the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life, he says. It's a beautiful point that he makes. Whoever believes in me, Jesus said, even though that person dies, shall live again. That is a powerful statement. You can have confidence that when you breathe your last breath, if you have put your trust in Jesus, who is the resurrection, you shall live again. You can have confidence about that. There's a lot in life that is not certain, and you can't depend on a lot in this life. You can depend on what Jesus says here, that if you believe in him, that you will live again after this life. That's what Jesus wanted to say to Martha. Now, he could have stopped there, and it would have been a beautiful sermon, but he doesn't. He does one more important thing, because at the end of that passage, did you notice that he turns to Martha? Even her time of grief and sadness, and he asks her life's most important question. We get asked a lot of questions in life, maybe hundreds a day, but there is one question in all of life that is life's most important question for anyone, and that is when Jesus turned to Martha and said, "Believest thou this? Do you believe that? Do you believe me? Martha, what do you believe about me?" He doesn't stop. Just before they go, Jesus asks her a question. So just for a second, he shifts that focus from the pain and grief that she is feeling about her brother, and he turns it back to her and says, "What do you believe about me?" Think about it. That is the most important question anyone can ever answer. What do you believe about Jesus? He took this opportunity, a life-changing moment Martha would never forget. She's about to walk out there and say bye to Lazarus to ask life's most important question. What do you believe about me? You know, that's the most important question any of us will ever answer. What do you believe about Jesus? What do you believe? You know, we had a baptism a couple weeks ago. And when we baptize someone, whether it's here or over there, you'll hear Adam say the same thing. Or maybe some of you have baptized people. You know, we raise that hand and we'll say, "Do you believe?" Something like this, may not be exactly like this, but something like this. Do you believe in the gospel? Do you believe Jesus lived a perfect life and that he died and rose again? Do you believe that? And the person will say, "Yes, I do." Have you accepted his perfect payment for your sin? "Yes, I have." Will you live for him? In other words, you could say all of that by just saying this: what do you believe about Jesus? So that's why we go over that again right before someone publicly gets baptized, because it's life's most important question. What do you really believe about Jesus? You'll never be asked a more important question than that. Because what you believe about Jesus means a lot of important things. It means, first of all of your sins can be forgiven and wiped away. All of your sins can be forgiven based on what you believe about Jesus. Your life can have a purpose and meaning and can be hopeful, and you can have a reason based on what you believe about Jesus. And like I said earlier, you can have confidence that after this life is over, you can live with Jesus forever based on the same question that he asked Martha: what do you believe about me? Because there is more to this life. This life isn't all there is. There's more. that this life is preparation for eternity. There is a forever after this life. And you can have confidence in those things based on what you believe in Jesus. Notice that Jesus didn't say, Martha, what do you believe about religion? What church do you go to? And those are important things. He said, Martha, what do you believe about me? I am the resurrection. I'm the resurrection. Jesus paid the entire price so we could have a relationship with him. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. What he wants from us is to accept what he did as payment for the times we have disobeyed God and have sinned and come short. So tonight is a perfect time to say yes to Jesus in your heart. Say, yes, I will accept that. I know that I have sinned and I am short of what God expects or God's standard. I know I am, and I accept Jesus. It's a perfect night to do that. Just say, Jesus, from now on, you are my only hope. You're the only hope to forgive my sins. You're the only hope to have a life with meaning, and you are the only hope I have after this life. I'm going to read a couple more verses, and we will be done. Look at John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world, he loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I can still remember my mom reading that verse over and over until I memorized it when I was a kid. My mom is getting close to 90. She's in a facility now, and there are times where she can't remember names. You know what? She can remember this verse. She taught me this verse from just when I can remember almost how to talk. So I had a mom and dad that wanted to make sure that God loved me that much, and I'm happy that they did that. It's a blessing to have parents who take the time, grandparents, brothers, sisters, that take time and teach a verse like John 3:16. Okay, I want to talk about sports, and then we're done. I am going to make an admission tonight because we're pretty close family. You want to hear one of my secrets? And you may be upset with me, and I'm going to talk about Tom Brady for just a second. I am not crazy about Tom Brady. Not crazy about him. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's his perfect face, or his hair's always good. I heard that he was going to start a comedy tour since he's retired from football. Oh, it'd be the dumbest thing you'd ever watch. You know, it would just be awful. But then I heard he would be a radio commentator on football. Maybe he'd be pretty good. But I never have really been crazy about him. But I think back to a Super Bowl kind of late in his career, and he played for the Patriots when they played the 49ers. And he was amazing. The Patriots, it looked like they had no hope. They were going to lose a Super Bowl. And somehow, he is such a good quarterback. He started getting over there and yelling at these big linemen and getting everyone to play. And he led them back. And the Patriots actually beat the Falcons in that Super Bowl. I may have said the 49ers, it's the Falcons. And it was one of the greatest games I've ever seen. Now, you know, our pastor before Adam, Billy Russell, loves Tom Brady because he went to Michigan, right? Just loves Tom Brady. And I've told Billy, I love you. I don't like Tom Brady. Don't like Tom Brady. But after that Super Bowl, I had to call Billy and I say, Billy, I still don't like him, but I think he's the best quarterback who's ever played. Now, I know Pat is good. I mean, who doesn't love Pat Mahomes? But he's only won two Super Bowls. And Tom Brady has won so many, including that big comeback when it looked like all hope was gone. Somehow, Tom Brady brought him back on a big stage And I just think he's the best. I still do. Even when the Chiefs won the other night, I still think Tom Brady's the best quarterback. As much as I don't like him, I still think he is. I remember in 2019, both my boys played for Bolivar High School. What a season that was. Just a magical season. I got to watch my two sons play for a state championship. They didn't win that game, but they got to play in it. And four games that year, everyone thought they were going to lose, and someone would hit a big shot, and out of nowhere they won. It looked like they were going to lose. Two of them happened in the state tournament. It looked like they were going to lose, and somehow they made this comeback, and it was awesome. Comebacks are cool. Sports Illustrated, a few years ago, talked about the 10 biggest comebacks in their mind in world history. They talked about Muhammad Ali had one. They talked about Joe Montana. He played for the 49ers. He had one. But they also included things that weren't necessarily sports. Like they said one time that Japan, you have to include Japan as one of the greatest comebacks because that nation was in rough shape after World War II, and yet now they've come from nowhere to be an economic powerhouse. So they also talked about non-sports things. Do you know who they said had the greatest comeback in history? Jesus Christ. Amen? Greatest comeback. All of those comebacks I mentioned is nothing like what Jesus did. I mean, it looked like, he was dead in a tomb. It looked like the devil had won, and 3 days later, boom, here he is. And now he has millions and millions of followers. It's the greatest comeback in history. Amen. So when he says, I am the resurrection and the life, he is the resurrection and the life. Jesus said unto Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the way that he loves us and gave everything for us. And Lord, thank you that he rose again, proving that we can have confidence believing in him to forgive our sins, to lead our lives, and to trust him with our eternity. Lord, we love Jesus. Thank you for him. And it's in his name we ask and thank you. Amen. Okay, we'll see you next week at the Esquire. See you next time.